Hello, lovers of words and wisdom and comment and fun and issues and... How you doing, really? Well, you know, let's just all self-hug for a mo, shall we? I'm a hugger and I've been missing that and I need one, so... Ah, that's better. Now, this crazy year of 2020 has dealt the whole world, the whole beautiful world, an unexpected hand. And, well, I would love you to put them together gloriously in celebration of this short season of monologues and poems, and maybe even a ukulele song, if you're not careful, written and performed in quarantine. Now, how this beauteous mix has come together to create the quarantine monologue, and a quarrelogue is born. You will hear from folks in isolation, mums, vampires, activists, family pets and mermaids, kids, old fellas, those homeschoolers and more. So, strap in for this first quite theatrical monologue by the amazing Emily C.A. Snyder, who produces, writes and creates wonders of theatrical delectation and delight with Turn to Flesh Productions. Now, when I saw this monologue written as a post of Emily's on Facebook, I thought it would be perfect to sum up how, well, a lot of us, many of us, because I did, are feeling. And to be honest, the yearning for theatre in me decided to make my life more complicated than ever. No changes there then. To edit together, not just one voice, but bring isolated voices overlapping and together, but not together, to symbolise our unique world struggle. Now, if currently you are feeling isolated and alone with thoughts of deeper depression or sadness, and maybe read the transcript before a listen, as audio is a very intimate experience. So, here we go, folks. Our first quarrelogue monologue, here, by Emily C.A. Snyder. Perhaps I am alone in this.
Perhaps I'm alone in
Perhaps
this.
Perhaps I'm alone in
Perhaps
this.
Perhaps I'm alone in this.
But does anyone else feel they're struggling to remember the before times?
The before times?
Before times?
I mean,
remember deep in your bones.
Remember viscerally.
Remember
with your breath.
This.
All of this.
All of this.
This.
All of this.
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 All of this
doesn't even feel like pandemic times now.
Doesn't even have the long, drawn-out horror. Or perhaps horror. I'm watching less news. I'm watching less
the constant,
news. The constant fatigue.
The constant
makes me aware
of the fatigue.
Of the fatigue. The deep sorrow or depression, or even the ache of pervasive numbness.
It just is.
But now still isn't a new norm.
Nor do I wish it to become so. It's just a
hearness.
Is anyone else in this strange sort of hearness?
Hearness.
Am I alone in this hearness?
In this hearness.
Am I overthinking this hearness? Am I in some sort of state of unexpected Hamletesque bliss of...
Being here.
I remember
with the dull ache of someone else's life. Before we knew they were before.
Back when they were now.
It's too much now.
A never-ending now. I remember that my heart was broken once.
I remember.
And more viscerally, I remember
gripping my pillow
as though it were the only thing left tangible
in this world of shattering reality. I remember the sobs that left my throat so raw I couldn't speak the words of how I hurt.
I remember gripping the sharp,
unbearable crucifixion of my splintered soul against the dullness of the world. Because
If I could feel anything.
If I could stay awash with pain and grief and shards of half disintegrating memories of him.
Him and I.
Then I would know that I was.
We were, that we had been, and that though we are destroyed, nothing.
The pain screams out.
I am.
Not here.
But I am.
And if my memory can fly as free
as any shuttlecock that threads the loom of fate, if I can retrieve with bright and sunshot clarity of anything before the memory of walking in a field, the high grass susurrating, the insistent drone of insect whirring, the mellow scent of wheat,
the feel of loam beneath my naked feet, the splendor of a sky in suspended suspense, a sudden gust of wind that seems to fill my lungs and fill me, to swirl among the stars.
Not here, but everywhere, stuck within a series of never-ending nows
that make me dread
each dawn, each sunlit hour, each endless stretch of night.
Not now, nor the endless cease of time, but beyond, with purpose, with companionship, with hand in solid hand that skips the hand of time.
Like children with a rope, leaving it behind, playing hopscotch.
Lengthy hours in a minute, when that minute someone spent with someone else.
Something else than here. But I am here. The months have grown upon me. I am heavier than I was, and I am here.
Here.
The hours stretch before me.
I stay up until the dawn, just to see another day.
Just to see another day begin, and know that I am here.
I could try to make a life.
Things take twice as long and half as short.
I've seen this video three times.
And still don't know the words.
Still don't know the words.
I've started things and ended them before they'd begun. I've ended things and wondered how they started.
I've cried and screamed and still felt nothing.
But the low, pervasive fear that sits beside me as I sip my morning tea.
Did I make this yesterday?
Yesterday.
I've watched the world through the window of my screen. I scroll and despair.
I'm afraid my friends don't like me.
I wonder if we are friends.
I miss people. I hate people. I want people.
I fear people.
And I shout. And I shout characters or less. I scream into the virtual abyss. Along with the deep computed well of everybody's sobs that we are still
here.
We're here.
We are here.
Just here. Not together.
Just here. We are here.
I miss you all. I'm here.
I'll just keep on being here.
Please stay being there.
Please stay being there.
Anyone? Please stay being there.
Please don't not be there.
Hello there.
Please.
Please don't.
Please.
Hello.
There.
Please.
Hello. Please don't hear me.
There.
Hello.
There.
Please.
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 Hello.
Anyone?
Hello. Anyone?
Hello?
Hello?
Hooray! Well done, folks. And, oh, how I love a sea of overlapping, whispering, repeated voices in devising work and on stage. And, do you know, I guess I was just missing that, and so I had a play. So, thank you to the wonderful Fiona McKinnon and Daniel Cook, both recent graduates of the Quirky Voices Voice Acting Beginners course. Waha! And one of my favourite voice acting VAs in indie audio fiction, Angelique Lazarus, joined us for this. And you'll find links to her Polyglottal Stop Language podcast of awesome in the show notes. And just as a side note, I will be doing future courses on voice acting, so if you want to be taught by me about voice acting, and maybe be in a quirky show too, keep an eye out on my social media or email me for private sessions on quirkyvoices@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear just the one voice version, then do ping me an email on quirkyvoices@gmail.com and tell me who you would like to hear performing it. And I'll see what I can do. Now, for the second piece, we turn to the home. And one of my absolute favourite pals of the last few years who, well, just also happens to be a creative genius, underappreciated in her field, I do feel, so far. Yes, tis the amazing, the wondrous Fiona Thrale. Yay! Cheering fireworks. Now, she also performs this quarrelogue, which she's written with aplomb. And I kind of recognise bits of myself here too. Now, all elements of this show have been sound designed and edited by me, so don't blame anyone else if it sounds crazy. That aside, please do enjoy possibly a hugely familiar slice of life for those who had kids at home all spring and summer homeschooling. Is there any gin left? And those who may have a technophobe for a mother. So here we have Beans, performed and written by Fiona Thrale.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, I can collate that for, when did we say, was it 10 a.m. Janet booked for tomorrow? Yeah, 10. Great. See you then. Bye. Just looking for leave meeting. Wouldn't you think by now that... You found it. Okay. I can collate all that for you by 10 a.m. tomorrow, Matt. No problem. Such an idiot. Anyway, let's have a moment. My COVID memories. Oof, no, delete. COVID diary. Yeah. Okay, what day are we? Oh, delete. Dear family, I think it's been... Is it 3 months? And so I'm writing this for, like, future posterity about how we've... Ugh. Hi, Mum. You all right? Yeah, all fine here. Yeah, all still well. Look, can I ring you back? I'm still at work for another... Oh, you remember? It's just like last time. Can you see a little picture of a basket? I don't know, somewhere in the corner at the top. That's it. Click on that and it'll... Double click, yes. Left button. Or anywhere on it. On the icon, on the picture itself. Go on. Now, what's come up? Right. Can you see a box somewhere on that page that says check out groceries? Try down the bottom somewhere. Check out. That's it. Yeah, click that. Yeah, left button. Yeah, anywhere on the words. I don't know. I can't remember. Try one click, and if that does... Great. Well done. So you can do the rest from here. Just press confirm and... Or enter. Send. You have to press something, Mum, or it won't go through. What buttons do they give you? Hang on. Everything all right? Hey, yeah, that sounds right, doesn't it? Do that. Yeah, anywhere on the word, yeah. Left button. Just like before, Mum. If it doesn't work with one click, the... Brilliant. You're sorted. Look, I've got to go. The kids... Yeah, not now. I'll get them to ring you after tea, all right? Yeah, and you two... Yeah, bye. Bye. Now, look, if you two are fighting, I am not going to be very happy with you. After tea. Oh, you are kidding. Don't answer that. I'm coming. No, I'm glad you did ring, Janet. No, it's a good idea to get the figures sorted before we waste an evening on different pages. Yeah. No, anytime, really. Yeah, you too. Hope you get a chance to put your feet up a bit too. At 10 tomorrow. Yeah, bye. Now, what did I write? Future posterity. Blah, blah, I don't know. It's hard at times. It's hard to fit it all in. And it's been the best having you here at home. It's been a chance we'll never get again. And I love it. But it's so hard to... I feel torn all the time, you know? So even taking these moments to write this rather than sort your tea so I can sneak off to sort everything for this meeting tomorrow sums it up, doesn't it? Just feels like rather than write all this rubbish, I might as well do. We're just living in the moment. That's what you're meant to do, isn't it? It doesn't work written down, because I'll just write about how we laughed and played games and actually talked. And that's posterity, isn't it? The half of it that's special. It's not remembering the other half. The stupid arguments. That's not the stuff of historical documents, is it? Dear COVID diary, today I ate cold beans on toast because Gemma said Luke didn't cook the beans properly so she wouldn't eat them and she wasn't hungry anyway and she hated beans, especially the ones he cooked. And Luke said, fine, she could starve or cook the beans perfectly herself if she was that clever. And she was not only being mean but stupid because it was impossible not to cook beans properly because they come already cooked. He did have a point about that. But so does she, because the beans were cold. And I didn't want a silent meal because I don't want the headspace to think about all this not ending soon. Or ending soon. And I have a department meeting tomorrow morning that I'm going to be up half the night preparing for. And whatever happens, I'm not going to be able to keep up full-time hours. My whole, I couldn't really call it career before all this hit, my whole succession of jobs is going down the pan. And that makes me panic and feel furious because if someone had bothered to read the can of beans, they'd have realised they are prepared, they are ready to go, they are cooked, they're in the sauce and they can smell the toast. Oh, God. You all right? Coming. And when you've got to the point of not only having pointless arguments, but writing them down, delete. Then you're living in the now, right? And that's a good thing. I'm sure that's meant to be healthy. This is all healthy. It's all going to be fine. Do you want to lose your screen time?
Oh, it's such a good threat, taking screen time, isn't it? Yes, my husband wants to take mine away for spending all hours on this show, to be honest, but that's another story. Now, this next piece today, I am deeply moved by and hugely grateful to the wonderful Danielle Ellett of Good Point Podcasts, who listen to Subjective Truth, so fun. And she is on so many more shows as a voice actor, and brilliant. In fact, she appears in Bogies and Ghoulies Brain, which is coming out at some point soon. Hashtag soon. I approached a few writers of colour for this podcast as I felt it important to have something to reflect just at least a slice, someone's view, imagined or real, of the crazy, horrific events of this year and the rise of positive activism for the Black Lives Matter movement. I think it's clear with the world that we're in that some people, that many people sadly live in ignorance, with intolerance of others. That is there through ignorance. And I hope to goodness that the wondrous soul listening now, you, can but help make our ripples of positivity stronger and wider and reach further to tackle issues like racism and sexism and every other ism you can ever probably think of, so this world does heal and become a more community-based, happy and joyous, positive space. And pass this podcast on so others may hear, please. Now, in this piece, there are mentions of the violence and attacks and murder of Black people and people of colour this year, as well as elements that make up the struggle for the Black Lives Movement to be heard, get folks active and make a difference. So, here's Danielle Ellett in the piece she wrote, Annual Activism.
It's going to be a bad day, he says instead of good morning. As I pad into the living room, I still crusted with sleep and ignorance to the latest pandemonium this upside-down year has to offer. His focus is glued to the soft glow of his phone, an execution playing out before the collective eyes of millions. The world now fixates on an 8-minute and 46-second time loop, when only the day before time felt meaningless and limitless in the uncertainty of how many more days, weeks, months the lockdown would continue. George Floyd echoes Eric Garner, who echoed nameless others unfortunate enough to be born a Black man in America, before the camera could capture their lynchings, before activism was in vogue. The leadership that ranted endlessly about kneeling before this is now silent in the aftermath. What was once an action of peaceful protest interrupting the notes of a tune proclaiming an off-key song of liberty is now an overseer's actions, squashing the pulp from the strange fruit on a hot late spring day. We were ripe and ready. A harvest as old as this country's 13 stars, as intentional as this country's 13th Amendment. This strange fruit was pulverized and bottled to age. A crop that was once transplanted into non-native soil has turned to wine, even as the woke liberals and right fascists both loudly whined about being oppressed in a nation built to sweeten them and sour us. My Grandma Gloria, a Negro spiritual song sung on Sundays only a few generations removed from shackles, whose last name of Freeman decries the past and announces in the present, "You don't own me," taught me kneeling in pews that wine is the embodiment of sacrifice, holy, anointed, and created in patience. We are a bottled commodity that is labeled for white consumption. And yet, we see ourselves smashed on the pavement, crimson river soaking into the road, we fragments of glass sharp and cutting are just seen by them as a nuisance, to be swept into the gutters, lest we disrupt the flow of traffic. Nothing to see here, keep it moving. Normally, they all have somewhere to go. Somewhere to be that's more pressing, but quarantine has provided a suspension of time in which bystanders can stop and gawk and stare down the wreckage even as the cops try to usher them by and on their way. The combination of blatant violence and corruption that has always been visible meets with free time and boredom, which has never been easily available in these United States of capitalism, creating a thirst for activism that social media for once cannot quench. People take to the streets with signs and with concern, screaming out behind masks that enough is enough. This lynching becomes the tipping point, despite all the ones that came before. A sleeping Brianna, a peaceful Philando, with a child in the back seat, little Tamar playing with a toy. Every name listed or forgotten, observed by the media or regulated to a dismissive cop's paperwork, were encompassed in the Black Lives Matter protests. They were a hope spring oasis in the desert of an unprecedented year. They marched against a system designed to convict and kill with impunity in an America who whispers to Lady Liberty, tying her blindfold tighter, that everyone is innocent until proven guilty, and that due process still exists. They marched and they screamed and they marched and swore that this time they would not be satisfied. Quench our thirst for justice, they screamed, or meet the fires of vengeance. The people of Flint, Michigan knew better than any that no reprieve in this thirsty work was coming, even as the rest of us naively hoped, as we watched the police precinct burn to ash. Summer's fever for justice cooled into an apathetic autumn. Ashes blew away on the winds of supposed change, scattered and no longer a monument to a unified vision. Instead of protests, there were theatrical shout-downs from keyboard allies, gatekeeping words like spooky from their social media platforms. Fingers frantically active while they lay on the couch, feet propped up. I need a break, they say behind closed doors, worn down from a year of shocking news and mask mandates and drinking at home instead of drinking at bars, even as the news reports two more dead in the States. Teenagers this time. They post instead about Thanksgiving plans and holiday recipes. America's collective fatigue for quarantining and fighting for justice is undoubtable and disheartening. While it may all seem hopeless, a blizzard of death, a lack of empathy, and the injustice of many that fall one unique snowflake at a time around us until it is an overwhelming mountain of problems that seep the cold into your bones, causing shivers born of helplessness. I can't help but stare out my window at the world now months removed from that bad day and contemplate what comes next. Do I too become buried under the avalanche of apathy, or could I start once more a spark of hope to ignite the fires of change? What would become of the world if we each focused our resources of time and money and experience and lessons and generosity of heart, all which outpour during the worst of circumstances but dry up when the unrest has quieted, and instead persisted and persevered? If we stand committed to change, to actively watering the seedlings of grassroots activism, then perhaps there will be a day where the snow melts and green shoots of a new season emerge from acts of love, of triumph, of overcoming, and we'll have reason to say it's going to be a good day.
Okay, now I think if it's okay with you, we'll just have a minute of silence to have a think about the people Danny mentions and the issues brought up within the piece. Thank you. And apologies for my tummy, which did not stay silent. Again, please do check the show notes for places and groups and websites to look at where you can share your support for Black Lives Matter and beyond. And also, you can find links to some of Danny's amazing work.
Now, the next piece I had an absolute blast recording by a new amazing friend who knows amazing people I know who are also very amazing. And, well, as well as appearing in some fabulous shows on the TV and theatre and beyond, also has written some groovy novels, which would make wonderful presents, just to say, if you were stuck for something, for someone to really enjoy getting stuck into. Jacqueline Ashman's books should be on your list. Now, Jacqueline Ashman is an actor, writer and more, and there will be links to all of her wares in the show notes, so please do check them out, especially those books, because they're very good. And I have to mention that I can only pay my contributors a very small amount for their wondrous, amazing contributions to this podcast. And so, very simply, if you would like to help me pay them more... and to do more quirky projects like this one, then please do feel free to jump on and support my quirky projects of Audio Awesome on my Patreon account or my Ko-fi. If you want a one-off ping, I would be hugely grateful. I am lucky enough to have 13 current groovy, amazing Patreon supporters who are all my superheroes for helping me get this content up and out. They help pay for my podcast hosting and contribute to paying my crew and actors. And, you know, I do what I like and I like what I do. So without further doing of ado, here is The Housemate Tale by Jacqueline Ashman. That woman. That woman is driving me nuts. Nuts. I just can't get away from her. It doesn't matter where I go or what I do, she's just there. Always right there. Wherever I go in the house, there she is. In the bedroom, in the kitchen, in the loft, behind the sofa. It's like I've been chipped. I even went and hid in the garage a couple of days ago. Oh, it was absolutely chucking it down, and that garage roof needs some attention, I can tell you. And she decides that that's the perfect time to take out the recycling. And what happens? I get dragged back into the house again, and I'm stuck on the sofa for 2 hours while she reads a book. Apparently it's nice to have me there so she can read the good bits to me like I care. All I wanted was some air. I'm thinking of getting her a bell to put around her neck. See how she likes that. Yes. You sit in front of the telly these days. And all you hear is lockdown this, isolation that, social distancing the other. What I wouldn't give for a bit of flipping social distancing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love her. Love her to bits. She's adorable. Really? She is. She is kind. Generous, warm, generally sweet-smelling, and there's always plenty of good grub. I'm very comfortable here with her. But it is all getting a bit much. I can't get 10 minutes to myself. And yes, of course, there's an element of mutual reliance in any relationship. I understand that. Of course I do. We both bring something to the table that the other appreciates, but 8 months, 8 flipping long months. I can't even go for a pee without her asking me how it went.
Honestly, if the food weren't so good, I think I'd leave. And the noises she makes. I was up in the loft last week and she still found me. And while she was up there, she discovered an old turntable. So now she's playing through all her old records and, of course, she knows them all like the back of her paw. And all day long now it's either blubbering on the sofa, clutching me like I'm some sort of stress toy, or bouncing around the living room like a demented rabbit high on gin and carrot juice, caterwauling like a police siren. I mean, call that entertainment, because I don't. When she's not doing that, it's the hoovering. I hate that hoover. Every morning, hoover. Every time it rains, hoover. Every night before she goes to bed, hoover. I hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. Always have. It's not just the noise, although that's bad enough, but it smells funny and the way it moves just creeps me out. I don't remember any specific incidents, but I think maybe when I was small. And I know it's tough on her being stuck at home. She's been working from home, see? She's not leaving the house unless it's to go out to buy food, and has not been anyone coming round. She's not been going out. Oh, seriously, she's not the only one suffering. What about me? Does she think I'm here just to satisfy her selfish desire for affirmation that she's a worthwhile sentient being? Don't I matter? I just don't know what to do. I've tried. I really have tried everything I can think of to communicate to her that this over-attentiveness isn't helping either of us in the long run. And I, too, have needs. It's not all just about her, but she just doesn't get it. I'm a free spirit. I always have been. She's always known that. That's why she loves me. It's not like I'm saying it's over between us, just give me some space. But I just can't seem to make her understand. But yesterday she crossed a line. Frankly, it's like I'm being stalked. Here's what happened. I managed to escape for half an hour. It was wonderful just to be alone. I was free. And I caught myself a lovely little squirrel. Not easy, because they're quick little blighters and they fight like squirrels when they're cornered. But it was raining, so I brought it back into the kitchen to finish playing with it in the warm. And what happened? Scream, sob, wail. You'd think the world was ending. You really would. So she takes my squirrel away. What's left of it? Yells at me like I've done something bad and storms off to the bedroom and gets the flippin' hoover out. Then, and this is where things get very nasty. She goes out and buys me a collar with a bell on it. Me! A bell! I'm not sure how much more of this I can take. It's a dog's life. Being a cat.
It's ours. Meow. When did you guess it was the pet cat? Straight away, was it? Yeah, do ping me your time codes of the moment you realised. I'd love to see who's the winner. And, and if it is the last few seconds, then let's talk, shall we? And of course, it's so nice to hear from the pets of the world who I'm sure are very confused as to why their owners are perhaps spending a lot more time at home, but perhaps hugely happy about it. So if you have a pussy at home, please, please give them a cuddle. So thank you, Jacqueline, for some wondrous imagined fun there. And we'll be hearing more from Jacqueline's penned words in a future episode. So on to our final piece, which is by one of my favourite all-round talented audio fiction creatives. Yes, it's Talmanier. Sorry, that was a bit German. Nothing wrong with that, of course. It's a short piece. Tal isn't German. It's a short piece on... just pushing through, folks, which is what we are all doing, no matter how hard things get. Now, I absolutely adore Tal's voice. I adore their writing. And, well, I am sure that this will resonate with many of you. I have to point out there are thoughts on death and depression in here, dealing with the day-to-day. So, perhaps, if you'd like to, feel free to read the transcript first if you want to get a feel for what's happening. So, here we go. 5 Steps by Talmanier.
I get up. I walk the 5 steps to my computer and turn it on. I do the start of day things, check email, make tea. I unlock my phone. Get caught up on notifications, get caught up on the news. It's never good news. I miss good news. I try to focus on work and not everything else. Do the engineering things that need doing. I try not to think about what's going on, how cases are rising, that people are dying. I try not to think about the things I miss, like going to the movies or eating at restaurants, and hugging friends. I miss hugging friends. I have a list of things I'll do someday, but it's for someday, not today. I wish I knew when things will change, but I just know they're not so great right now. They're really not so great right now. I am 1 step from fully overwhelmed at all times, just below my limit, sometimes already there, starting when I get up and walk the 5 steps to my computer and turn it on.
Well, folks, there we go. 1 foot in front of the other. That's all we can do. 1 breath at a time. 1 self-hug at a time. I'm going to give myself another one. Give yourself another one too, if you like. Sort of group hugging then, isn't it? A big squeezy one. And, well, thank you so much for listening to this first episode. Nearly all the way through now. Hooray! So, all that remains is to thank my writers, Emily C.A. Snyder, Fiona Thrale, Danielle Ellett, Jacqueline Ashman, and Talmanier, and my groovy performers of Vocal Awesome, Fiona, Danny, Tal, and Daniel Cook, Fiona McKinnon, and Angelique Lazarus, and I'm Sarah Golding. Hello. You can find links to all of these folks' wares in my show notes. And please do check out the Moonalogues from last year. Anyone for Coffee. Mediva, my voice acting podcast, if you want to be a voice actor like what I am. And, well, just look at all the quirky fun wares on the Quirky Voices Presents feed and share them to your friends. Please, I would love to have people listening from all over the world. And if you feel so inclined, I would love a review. I would love you to shout out on social media that what you have heard was good. Or if you didn't like it, say that. Cry. The hardest thing for us podcasters is discoverability. And if you've enjoyed this, I would very much appreciate a share. To be honest, that's the best currency a lot of us podcasters can yearn for, nurture, and develop. Feel free to drop me a line on quirkyvoices@gmail.com with any comments on what you've heard today. And if you want to write for future episodes, well, get in touch, do. I'm not planning on going anywhere right now, but the fates will decide. That sounds so ominous. Anyway, have the best, most fun-filled, crazy, happy, masked, please wear masks, socially distanced, no streaking in the streets, please, week, and join us again another time for more quirky quirologues of audio joy, of audio thoughtfulness and joy, of audio thoughtfulness, comment and joy. I'll come in again. Stay safe now.
Bye.